This is we're live right after AEW Dynamite. This is Loser Leaves Wrestling. This is the AEW who's and what's of AEW Dynamite. My name is Red Jefferson, and I'm here with
Hey, it's Moa Chaswell.
And here we are. We're doing this live. We're having a big live event. And I want to thank you all so much for supporting us on our YouTube channel. Thank you all so much for your likes and your subscribings. Moa, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. It's it was a fun episode. I had a lot of fun watching tonight. A lot of issues that I'm sure we'll talk about, but it's nice to be back, you know, and it feels like a new season of AEW. So
is that what it is?
Oh, it always feels like a new season to me. Like the pay-per-views are like the season finales, or the big, the big special shows are like season finales, and then you just start over with new storylines for everybody.
So overall, you're positive about this night?
It's in the middle. I don't know. There's some good matches, good matches.
I have so many complaints, but I was entertained enough throughout, and we have to just talk about the night. Let's talk about with our woos. Our woos are things that we really love, the big woos of the night. And Moa, what's your big woo of the night? What do you got?
Actually, Red, you should go first. I have to check something on the stream.
One hell of a great woo. It's the main event, which saw MJF come out with his five horsemen. So essentially, the Inner Circle's coming out to do this big war room conference or something along those lines, where they're going to talk about the future. They have this every week now, a future of Inner Circle. And then all of a sudden, the Jericho's like, maybe we should add a new member. MJF's like, maybe we should take one out. And Sammy Guevara comes out. Sammy Guevara has to show Jericho tape. He must show Jericho a tape. And so he shows Jericho this tape, and it's MJF plotting to overthrow Jericho. It's starting to get a little convoluted here. And then Jericho turn a secret that he was in on it the entire time. They turn on MJF. They're about to beat up MJF. And then MJF turns out the lights to introduce his new group, which is the Tully Blanchard, the Four Horsemen that we thought were going to be the Four Horsemen. I guess they're not anymore. FTR, Wardlow, and Sean Spears, along with Tully, are now this big mega faction. Mo, what are your big initial thoughts on this? Was this a woo for you?
That was actually my number one what of the evening. Man. I did not like that. Yeah, so I was kind of surprised you mentioned that. But this will be fun. This will be really fun. It's rare that we have our like conflicting
our
number one
opposite ones.
That's yeah, I guess I was disappointed in what they did with Sammy Guevara to just start out over there before we get to the ending with I guess the new
sure let's
horsemen,
oh, no, I would love to talk about Sammy, because Sammy almost ended. Tell me what you think about Sammy.
Okay, so I guess my issue with this episode was there are too many like random encounters or random teams in the making, and there wasn't build up. There are a lot of missed opportunities for this new season, I guess I'm gonna keep calling it.
No, I like
you know
that. I like that.
So it's just sort of frustrating. It's fine, it's gonna be fine. It's just I'm just disappointed, because we just went through I want to say a couple months worth of build up between Sammy being paranoid that MJF is going to ruin the Inner Circle, and he's somehow the only one that notices. And then it's been this slow buildup. He slowly gets Santana Ortiz on his side, you know, and it gets to the point where he leaves. So I thought this was going to be his big, like, face turning moment. He saves the day in some way, you know, it's a big moment. But instead, he just walks out and shows a video. And then they all turn on him, and it just seems like a complete fucking waste of time to go through all of that for them to be like, you know what, you're right, you know.
You know, one other thing is the lead up to the unveiling of this new group was really convoluted and windy. Like, for instance, MJF's plotting against Jericho, but Jericho secretly knew the entire time, and his good friend Sammy, who he was pretending to dislike at the beginning of this segment, was in on it the whole time too. But for MJF to then double reverse it, that was a very convoluted. But I love MJF, I love FTR, I love Tully, I like Sean Spears, like the idea of them all being together.
See, I think it's really interesting. I didn't see it coming. And I think the beatdown was pretty good. There was some good, you know, Jericho finally got blood. He had some trouble when he first got cut, you know, after getting hit with the diamond ring or whatever. But by the end, with the powerbomb, he really had it all smeared across his face. That was cool. But yeah, I guess I just also felt like it was completely out of the blue. And in an episode where it was just constant surprise factions that didn't make sense, but were just supposedly like they did this again, where they just used the same trope multiple times in the same episode,
yeah.
Which is fine. It's fine to use these tropes, but it's a problem when they do it multiple times, because then you can start picking it apart, you know?
Yeah.
Like the trope of like, oh, a sudden surprise faction. Of course, like these random people.
This is the third one tonight. This is the third, at least by my counting, the third one. What is it? Eddie Kingston, Moxley, Matt Hardy, and Bunny and the Blade, and Butcher. Like, there's a lot of new teams formed all within one day.
And it's just a lot of like, it's a lot of like, well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. And you have to do a lot of the work instead of AEW doing the work for you, which, again, that's fine in situations, but they just did it way too many times. You're like, all right, it's exhausting, you know? Like, so I wasn't really excited by that group, because they didn't build it up. There was no conversations on screen between MJF and those people. And I don't know. Maybe I'm being nitpicky.
It just kind of bothered me. You're 100% right, but I've just grown to be accustomed to that with AEW. I take what I could get. And what I could get is this cool stable, how it got to be, you know, they do have too much swerve style booking, where it's just like, whoops, you were wrong the entire time on that one. One thing I do love, though, is Sammy Guevara. He's proving my point that Sammy Guevara will one day be the perfect creep. Like a big creep person, because literally he videotaped his friends. He spied on his friends to find out.
He does have a little creep face too.
It's very George Costanza to tape record the meeting when you're gone to see what they say about you.
Are you watching Seinfeld recently?
I've been watching
Seinfeld recently because it's on Hulu, and I'm excited about that.
I think this is the only time in my life where I'm not watching it recently.
Oh, sure.
So I'll be back in a couple months. But excellent, excellent. I love that. We had a counter arguments with our woos and whats. Well, let's get started. What's your biggest woo of the evening?
Biggest woo is the Scorpio Sky match.
Sure.
Scorpio Sky against that little dweeb. What's his name? Darby Allin. Darby Allin. I keep forgetting his name. I don't know why I forgot his name. Yeah. My God, I was so impressed with Scorpio Sky in this. I thought he just had incredible storytelling. I thought his body language and facial expressions did so much work into when I started noticing it. Like, I could tell, or at least I could tell what he was thinking through every single moment, because he took that time and really showed it, you know, through his performance, which is a very difficult thing to do in the middle of a match, you know? So yeah, that's the biggest reason why I loved it. What I didn't like, so he won the brass ring. Very dumb. It looked like a big Sonic the Hedgehog ring in the middle of the ring. Really, really
stupid.
That's
cool for a nether type of match. That's not cool for like a Money in the Bank style match.
Yeah. Yeah, very. It was silly, and it just looked so silly watching him hold it, and he hugged it, you know, because it's a big moment for him. He gets a big opportunity, but he just like holding this friggin' comical ring, and it's just like,
it looks plastic.
The brass ring. What?
It looked plastic.
It probably was.
If they had a brass ring that size, it would weigh 100 pounds.
Oh, sure. Of course not. Yeah.
I would love for them to have a brass, like some metal thing at least.
Yeah.
Because it looked cartoony. But yeah, he won that so he could get his match against Darby today.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with that, because when he won, I was very excited, because if you can't tell, I'm a big Scorpio Sky fan.
Double S.
But then they immediately announced on the pay-per-view that he was wrestling Darby on Wednesday tonight. And so I'm like, okay, there's absolutely no way he's gonna win. It'll probably be a great match, but there's no way. Or else, you know, if there's build up, then I think they could have done a good job of convincing me that maybe he could win, you know. Same with later on the night, Penta does a great thing, you know, great promo against Cody, and then they announce that match is next week. So there's no build up. Penta's gonna lose, but or I don't know, actually I don't know what's
I actually have
there.
Some thoughts on that. We're skipping
but
steps here.
I just don't, I guess, yeah.
Scorpio.
But mild critique. The Scorpio Sky match was fantastic, I gotta say. Still, yeah.
But
what'd you think?
Scorpio Sky, I love the match. They did a great job. I wasn't too upset. Well, obviously, I'd like a bigger build-up. If they're going to have a match to set up another match, it should at least wait a week. You should at least wait a week to build it up. Like, it seemed kind of silly. But what I did like about it is that at the end, after he lost, which I was fine with him losing, built up Darby Allin, what he did is he lost it. Excalibur explained in the beginning, yeah, he's had some anger issues in the past, which is the first time we've ever heard this. Anger issues, but it's fine. And so, but the fact that he snapped at the end and he did the Bob Backlund thing of where, like, he does something crazy, then he looks at his hands like, what have I done? And I thought that was a really cool moment. I don't like him licking his lips.
It was a little too much. Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there. Yeah,
I wish he got up and looked at his hands like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, I would have liked that. Like, oh, I snapped. I blacked out. And this is what happens when I black out. I become my Scorpio Sky Hulk, you know?
Or pull a Nyla Rose and start licking his hands. On his hand instead of his... Because that would freak me out. There's like, what is wrong with him? He's losing his goddamn mind.
That'd be really mad. Because that'd be a big character turn. Yeah, even Excalibur's just like, he used to have anger issues, but I don't know what the heck this is.
Sure. Really, yeah, that was great. And there was he lost the match and he's like laying there and he's just looking really upset, really, you know, frustrated. And then Darby grabs his belt and he walks over and he just kind of slaps him on the back, you know, like this kind of like, good job, man. You know, you're still a good guy. I'm a good guy. Great job. But it was so condescending the way Darby did it. It's similar to what Cody does all the damn time, you know, when he was TNT champ.
Sure.
And it was.
And he's so much younger. He's like 10 years younger, Darby Allin.
But it was like those things where like if he did it to Scorpio on a different day, he would be like, yeah, all right, next time. But you just saw something snap in his head, in his eyes, you know, he's just like, you know what? Screw this. And then he punches him and it's like, it's totally motivated. Like, it makes 100% sense why he would do it in that moment.
I thought he did.
Yeah.
And he did great character work for a guy who's, I wouldn't say is known for his character work. Scorpio Sky did an excellent job. Up until the licking of the hands thing. He didn't lick his hand. But up until the licking and the hand movement. But other than that, excellent job. We're really killing these woos. But since we just talked about it, my next big woo of the evening is Penta calling out Cody.
Yes.
Because Cody has this bullshit match against Seth Gargus, which is just to explain that he still can go. Because Cody legitimately does have an injury right now. He legitimately has a shoulder injury. So him going out and having a quick match right now, Penta comes out to call him out and say, like, I loved his, Penta comes out from the crowd. He grabs a guy who could speak Spanish and he starts having a promo in Spanish, guy translate. And then he does in his broken English. He gives a great promo. I actually like Penta with his broken English a lot more than I like the translator.
Alex Marvez wasn't, he was trying to.
Was that Alex Marvez?
Yeah. Okay. It was just weird. He wasn't trying. He was trying too hard to like perform. I guess. Yeah.
He should have just said it like a weakling. He wants to say that he's going to. I don't want to say it. He's gonna. You're touched. Yeah, like you can't hold your unborn kid or something like that. What did he say?
That's a great point. That's exactly. I couldn't put my finger on, but that's exactly why it sucked. he sucked was because. It seems like he's an accomplice to him now. Maybe he is, but we don't know. It just looked like Penta grabbed him and was like, you know Spanish, let's do this, you know? Yeah. Which is such a shame, because otherwise I love that he started in Spanish. I thought it just brought me back to his Lucha Underground days, where he just, his crazy powerful promos back then. Mm-hmm. And I love that they're accepting of foreign languages in AEW in general, like the Japanese, the women's division, you know, allowing to speak in Japanese.
Sing in Japanese.
Yes. Oh, we'll get to that.
That's going to be coming up soon. But I
forgot to put that down.
No, I got it here. I'm not going to let you forget. But with Penta, you mentioned before that you're worried that he interrupts him, challenges him next week, and he's going to lose. I think this is a way for them to write Cody off TV with Penta breaking his arm.
He foreshadowed it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna break his arm and he's gonna be off TV he's gonna use his finish, that snap arm move, and he's gonna put him out. And this is gonna give Penta an opportunity to then I don't know where he would jump to. because like he can't have a match with Cody. I feel like Cody's going to be out for a while and he'll have a match coming back, but it gives him an opportunity to step up and for him and his brother to have some space, which is cool.
Yeah, because they're both incredible single stars. Phoenix has really been just rocketing past Phoenix, or Pentagon, with his singles career already, and Pentagon is just as good. So hopefully this can be the start of it, because he's like actually my favorite out of
I like him more. I think he's a more grounded wrestler. I like his brawling style more. Like he's a little bit more grounded, more brawly, and more vicious.
They're great in like completely different ways in certain regards. And Phoenix, he does one thing in every single match somehow that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Pentagon is all character. He's a great wrestler too, but his character is what really makes me fall in love with him. So can't wait. Well, hope it works out.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we're on a roll. We're running fast with our crazy Dynamite action. Moet, what's your next big move you got?
Oh boy, the Mox and Kingston promo was fantastic. Oh my gosh, I was such a fan of that. I thought there was a horrible, just very disappointing ending to the Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Great match, in my opinion. I thought it was going really great. Just a disappointing ending, and sure. You know, get your shit together, AEW. They already know, but they already know. They already know because they allowed Mox and Kingston to make it in story reason. And to explain themselves, because the big issue for me with that weak explosion was that Eddie Kingston sold it like death. Mm-hmm. He sold it like he got burnt and was knocked out. But he couldn't even see the explosion because his head was down, you know, so he probably had no idea. Mm-hmm. He just did his best. But instead, Eddie Kingston kind of brings up this trauma that he had of potentially going to jail or something kind of weird. I don't know. It was believable to me because it's Eddie Kingston and he blacked out because of the fear of it or something. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I hated that entire portion, and I was upset because I was excited to see them together they really do some sharp booking where they are blood enemies one week and then they are chummy as chums can be, which is cool because I kind of like that aspect. Maybe that's how Eddie and John Moxley work. They're like literally the best friends that would fight each other, so I'm fine with that. But I just felt this was rambling. I felt Eddie doesn't know how to ease off. Like, he kept interrupting John in the beginning, like, and it's like he loves to talk. Eddie just loves to talk, and the issue is he doesn't know how to stop, so all of his stuff sounds rambly. Everything he says, it sounds rambly, unless he's passionate. When he's trying to be jokey, it's rambles.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I guess so. I like the duo. I like that team a lot. And I think the rambly nature with like Mox kind of jumping in every now and then. I thought it's nice. And I like that best frenemies sort of thing they're doing. Like, I think that's really fun. And it works. I think you're right, though. I will give you the they seemed way too comfortable with each other immediately, which is a bit strange.
It's sharp.
I don't know. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here, because I think they had a lot to explain straight away with this sort of embarrassing ending on Sunday. And that was like clearly the very first thing that he brings up, the first thing on their mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It just seemed like a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
I'm excited to see where it goes from here. It's just like the new MJF stable. Like, I think it's still going to be cool.
And John Moxley did a great job. I don't want to take anything away. And I'm excited for those two to be together, just to be honest. But moving on, we mentioned it before. Let's talk about Mao. Maki Ito is my next woo of the evening.
All right.
Where she's singing on stage. She comes out and then Ishida comes up to like thwart her, confront her, and she just bops her on the head with the microphone, and it got a good noise. It was very funny.
Did you see the pre-show for the pay-per-view?
No, I did not.
Okay, so she was the surprise entrant.
I knew that. Yeah,
for that they just pulled the same thing. Like, Reba was injured; she was supposed to be the tag team mm-hmm. Partner for Britt, but then Britt brought in Maki Ito, but she did the whole song. As her entrance, she walked in the ring and did a whole dance and got the audience like chanting her like, yeah, 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 kind of thing, whatever she was doing, you know, and it's bizarre as hell. It's especially really funny on the pay-per-view to watch a bunch of like Jacksonville citizens trying to figure out what the hell J-pop is. Every time it'd go back to the audience, they'd just be like, what is happening? You know,
it's a good song too. It's a good song. I was into it.
The dances are fun. But yeah, so then when she did it here, and then they immediately cut the music, but she continues to sing the entire song with all the dances, the dance moves and stuff. That just got me. And then it would cut to, I forgot, I think someone getting like choked by a kendo stick or something on the ground. And it was just very violent all around. And she's still like singing and dancing and stuff. And really
JR said how the JR and Tony were both like they were shook. They were shook. They were saying out like that. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It was such a surreal moment. And it was pretty cool. It was a cool moment, even though the match was lackluster.
I thought it was okay.
It was too short. It was short for the amount of people in there.
I guess so. I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it, didn't love it. But what I did enjoy about it was really showing where the direction of the women's division is going now that Makito and Rio are part of the team now. They can make it to America, you know?
Makito and Rio Mizunami.
Yeah. What's like frustrating? Yeah, it's you know, because they're only showing one women's match a week, you know, to spin. They don't get much time to do stories or anything, but to spin that, you need characters, performers that can show off their character in the ring like 110%, and those two can do it. You don't need you need stories, but they can pull it off. Like, that was I know who those two are just from watching that match. I can understand what their motivations are.
Every single time they're on screen, you see them and you notice that. In all honesty, while I was watching the match, and I kept forgetting who else was in the match. I forgot that Nyla Rose was in the match. I forgot who else was in the match. Britt Baker, I forgot she was in the match until the end. You know, and I love Britt Baker. She's my queen. She's the patron saint for me of AEW.
They're just too good. They're too colorful, too good. Yeah, I think it's only going to make everyone else step up their game too.
So, yeah, Maki Ito, yeah. I hope to see more of her. I hope she stays. Mo, what's your, do you have any more woos?
I think we have one. Phoenix first Matt Jackson. That was a fun story, fun little match. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. Yeah, Phoenix. I like the little story, or the story I perceived of like Phoenix, like being much more comfortable as a singles wrestler. Mm-hmm. Matt Jackson is good, but he still isn't quite there yet. You know, I'm just trying to read my notes. What else I wrote? I'm glad that Phoenix won. I'm glad because of that.
Thank God.
Should be the singles wrestler. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Because that was my biggest concern, because I wasn't super into this match. Maybe it's just because I find Matt Jackson just repugnant. I think I realized it because like, I actually like, he's a very good wrestler. He's obviously a very good wrestler. Both the Jacksons are, and Nick actually is a very, I really like Nick in his matches, but Matt has this look about him that he thinks he's the toughest guy in the room. He thinks he's the coolest guy in the room. He's like, he looks and acts, and I hate to use this term because, but he acts like a mark coming out. He looks like a kid's just like, well, this guy, he's going to get beaten up for sure. Like, this like kind of like little kid attitude, which I find it so annoying.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. There is something about the Young Bucks that are annoying, that it was fun to hate them on the indies. Mm-hmm. I think because of that character
smugness.
Choice.
This righteous smugness that like,
But it's a little bit different when you see them week after week and they're trying to be faces, but they act like heels and they still want you to root for them, or they want you to make your own choice because it's gray. It's a little,
I hate their
gray. A bit too much. Yeah. But I love them as wrestlers.
Yeah, they could go. But I'm just glad that he didn't win, because the storyline, the idea that he is not a singles wrestler, he is a tag team person. I honestly think, and maybe this me being biased, it shouldn't have gone that long at all. Just because I think he should have been ended quicker, because he's not used. I would love for him to get a knock Penta knock Phoenix down, and they're both doubled down, and then you see Matt Jackson turn to his side and start crawling to the corner and going for like just muscle memory, thinking he's going for a tag, because like Excalibur said, he's maybe called two or three of his matches that are singles. Imagine that being a block for him, where he's like, oh, I could go in and tag, and then he goes not there, gets rolled up. Like,
that's pretty fun. That's a fun storyline,
that would save a lot. That would make Matt Jackson look like an idiot, but it wouldn't make him look like a bad wrestler.
I like that a lot. I think I disagree that it should be short because he's still considered the best tag team wrestler in the world. One of them, the Young Bucks, you know. So like even on their own, that still means that they're really good. They're at the very least very good, you know. So they should be a back and forth, but eventually a loss. That's how I perceive it.
Sure, but like if you're on a football field, just because you're a great quarterback doesn't mean you could be a nose tackle. You know, like you could be a great in the like as a tag team wrestler. But suck as a, I would love, I would, maybe I would like to see that more. That's never really been established. But like, I think singles wrestlers should suck at tag teams and tag teams should suck at singles, at least for the first part until they like get the, that should be a part of the storyline. Like, he hasn't wrestled singles in a while. He's going to suck tonight. Like, I would like that strategy. I'd like that psychology more in wrestling.
Sure. Yeah.
That's just a one. But I got a sneaky little woo here. Adam Page gets a lawnmower with his money.
Wait, what do you like about that? You like the lawn? You emphasize lawnmower, and that was not what I expected.
It was silly. Because he got his Dwight Yoakam collection and his lawnmower, and he gave a lot to the schools in the Jacksonville area. And then all Dark Order besides, who was it, five?
Yeah.
Yeah, weren't allowed on the lawnmower
Alan
ride.
Angels, the one that's in love with Hangman. At least on BTE.
That's really fun. Oh, that's sad.
Do you know that? Yeah, they're doing that. It's very.
I've missed the past.
Sometimes
few weeks
subtle. Oh, okay. Yeah, they even. I think on the Valentine's Day episode, they were doing a thing where they're all writing like, what do you call it? Valentine's Day cards to people, and then he did it to Hangman, and then he tried to give his card to Hangman, but Hangman was just too distracted thinking about whatever. I don't know. It was a few weeks ago, you know. And so it's just little things where he just keeps bringing up Hangman in these like specific ways, you know. He's the one that saved Hangman initially. A couple weeks ago when like Matt Hardy and all the people he hired were beating him up, he did a big move. I don't know. There's little things that are connecting the two of them consistently. Like he's the only one that can't jump on the lawnmower. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm excited to see where that goes.
Maybe he's going to, because that would actually be really sweet if he's looking for a tag team partner one day and like everyone's got a match on the card. He's just like, all right, five, let's go. And then they end up becoming best friends.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Did you notice how the lawnmower was...
It tilted back?
Yeah, and one of them, like, fell off, but happened to fall right off camera, like, as they were getting off camera.
Well, thank God, because that's how some people die. I actually have a cousin. I have a cousin that's their best friend died from a tractor rolling over them.
A tragic tractor
roll. A tractor. Like, well, God bless. I R.I.P.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any other woos you got?
That's horrible. Up in there? No, that's it. Let's move on.
That's all the woos. But wait, we're not done yet. We got some. What? We got some. You like that? You like that? What?
I did. Yeah. I wish. You did a good Stone Cold face. Yeah.
Very cool. You did sick. Yeah. Sick dog. What's your biggest what of the evening? What do you think?
It was the MJF thing. But number two, Pat, yeah. After the MJF is all that nonsense with Christian Cage and the Kenny Omega promo.
And Kingston.
I don't know how to clump. I guess I just clump it all together. It was supposed to be one thing. Kenny showed up. Yeah, help me out here.
Let me try to explain it. So Don Callis, Kenny Omega come out and interrupt. Tony Schiavone comes out and he's trying to talk to Christian Cage. But then Kenny Omega and his crew come out interrupting and they start talking about. They tried to give their explanation for the bomb, which is convoluted, and how it went wrong, but maybe they wanted it to go wrong. Who knows? Very stupid. I wish they would just do the WWE thing and forget it. I honestly wish they would just forget it and move on. They had a brutal match, and they're making it all about the bomb. They could just forget it, honestly. But they're doing this convoluted thing, and then they have the Kingston comes out, and he's all... in their face, they're dressing him down in front of the ring, and they're about to beat him up. He punches Omega. John Moxley comes out to help his friend Eddie, and then they're all brawling, and then all of a sudden, Christian comes out. They had three countdowns in this one match, this one segment, or two countdowns. They had the fake countdown where Kenny Omega is pretending to be John Moxley, and Don Callis gets on top of him for the bomb. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because we saw
69 me. He's screaming in the mic,
and he did it. He really did it. I did not expect to see that.
That's a lot. And then there's a second countdown, which came out with Christian came out. Uh-huh. Christian came out, and he stared down Kenny Omega and almost gave him an unprettier. But then he picked up the belt. He's like, "Oh, maybe I want this." Moe? I'm Christian, and maybe I want this. Do you think Christian should be in the title contention immediately?
I wouldn't be mad about it. I think it's, yeah, I'm not, they're building him up as like a big, big star, big deal in AEW. So yeah, he should go straight for the title, or at least kind of, you know, flirt with the idea. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
What was your least favorite part about the segment?
Nothing was necessary. Nothing pushed the story forward. Like you said, the, just them like going on and on about the bomb not being great and that they planned it. I was fine with Eddie Kingston doing it because it was at the top of the hour. It was a good explanation. And he was really the most embarrassed out of all of them as a performer. So it was good for him to kind of explain it. But then they just do it again live, and it's just them, you know, spinning in mud, you know, spinning their wheels in mud. It's just nothing, you know, they could have not done it, you know. And then, Eddie, I liked Eddie. I liked what he was doing. I liked that he punched Kenny. And and then, but
his face,
but everything after that, I don't know. It just didn't make sense how all of it played together, other than maybe, I guess they're going to do a 3-versus-3 match at some point. That it just feels very like convoluted. They just got to bring them all together in an easy way. We're like, I could very easily see Christian Cage, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston versus, you know, Omega and the Good Brothers, just because they all happen to be in the same ring at the same time, you know, or the same area, you know. Yeah, so that was my main problem with it.
Yeah.
Also, a random thing, if I can bring this up. We complained about how there are too many similar names.
Sure.
In the past.
Oh, yeah. FTR, FTW.
Yes.
Isaiah Cassidy, Orange Cassidy.
Yes, And now you got Christian Cage and Brian Cage.
Are they brothers? Are they brothers?
Yeah. We're going to find Cage out. Cage brothers? What is going on?
I would hope. Oh, man. Why don't they do that? Why don't they just make them brothers? I'm just so over it. Because, like, he has to go back. He can't use Christian. He's not allowed to use Christian. And Christian Cage is what he used on the indies and what he used at TNA. And it's something he owns.
And Brian Cage wasn't there at the time.
Brian Cage should have to lose his last name. He should be Brian.
Fight for the cage. Cages. Cage fight. Cage-a-thon.
Yeah, have a cage match with the cages.
Yeah.
Oh, I have them in a cage. That'd be pretty nice.
Cage match.
We have two cages. It'll be a cage, a steel cage with a Hell in a Cell over it, with two cages, four cages, and two cages.
Cage cubed. Yeah, that's what it is. Silly stuff.
Okay. There was that. That definitely happened. What other what's you got going on? I'll tell you what my biggest what of the evening is the technical difficulties.
There you go.
The technical difficulties where we were listening to, I guess, audience reaction to basketball game on TNT because we heard a lot of crowd chants and a lot of bouncing of the basketball.
Uplifting music.
Uplifting music. What was it like?
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Y'all ready for this?
That's LeBron James is going down the center court, and
I don't know basketball. I'm just trying.
Oh, that's good.
Trying to be an announcer.
You're pretty much. That was spot on.
Okay, but Brett, this is suspicious because I have text messages from you that said the words amazing. Can't wait to see more. I don't know. What else did
I'll
you
tell write? You why.
You sound like you loved it.
I love it. Believe me, I love it for me because I'm tickled by the bomb. I'm tickled by the bomb. Read it to me.
Couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. That's all I felt. I had to find out. Yeah, couldn't be happier with this horrible disaster.
I like it because it was a disaster. I like it because it was a train wreck. But do I want it for my program? No. I wish them better. I hope them better than that.
But you had fun.
I had a blast. listening to it, honestly. I wish they had some NBA announcers, like Marv Albert being like, yes, we've got a great... I don't know how to do a Marv Albert.
Yeah, I just couldn't concentrate on the match at all, which is a shame, because I wanted to see Ethan Page. I wanted to see what his whole deal is, because I haven't watched him before. I haven't seen any of his stuff. Other than the match on Sunday, but
I love that it happened on his Dynamite debut. The entire match. The entire match was taken up by.
I thought it was on purpose at first. Then he heard like basketball sounds and stuff. But I thought I thought it was his entrance music. It was just so much, like, stimulus hitting me, sure. You know?
Sure. Yeah. It was weird. No. I didn't know what it was. I thought you said that you thought it was crowd noise, and I thought that at first too, mm-hmm. until I heard the buzzer go off. The
Someone's got a vuvuzela in the audience.
That'd be very yeah, that'd be very fun if there was that World Cup. Yeah. But Mo, what's your next big what of the evening? What do you have?
Number three, we already talked about Matt Money Matt buying Butcher and Blade. Just sure. a real quick one. I don't want to go through it because we already did. But that was a little bit silly because what happened to Jack Evans and Angelico? I thought he bought them or whatever. And now just super random. I'm also upset that Eddie Kingston and his family is just dropped. That whole story just dropped. Or the faction.
I'm
you know?
So happy with that. I
mean, I am too. I didn't really care about it, but I just hate that that's like a reoccurring thing with AEW yeah. now, that like something's not working or it's just a stalling tactic. You just, man, just drop it. No, they'll forget about it.
Wasn't that his family? That
his family.
Die
far? He's yeah. My best friend. What happened to your best friend? What happened to your best friend, Eddie? Where's your best friend
Where's
now?
Your best friend?
All right, next one, though. I don't want... the real... there's a real bad Sting promo that Lance Archer jumps in.
Yeah,
I'm annoyed at that. Yeah.
I didn't think the Sting promo was bad. I just thought it was... It shouldn't be. I'm tired of seeing the same one. I'm tired of seeing the same one over and over again.
Yeah, I guess that's why it's bad, because it's short, and there's nothing that he really says
of
substance.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, and he has it for, like, weeks, essentially.
But Lance Archer coming out, while I hated it because Jake and him sound like weenies, I do like the idea. I kind of like the idea of a Sting versus Lance Archer.
Oh.
The cinematic feud.
Oh, okay. I actually liked it. I like the reasoning for him coming out. Was, if you're not going to give me time, I'll take,
time. I like that,
I like that line a lot.
I like that. It's very Muppets. Yeah. It's very Muppets.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just taking, like, it's almost like breaking the fourth wall a little bit, which I like. I enjoy that AEW does sometimes.
Yeah, and the cinematic match, I hadn't even thought of that. That'll be interesting, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Because Sting has a win right now, and so he could stand to lose a match. And I would love to see what they could do in a cinematic one. I think that'd be great.
Could be very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, this thing should just be the king of cinematic matches, which I'd be fine with.
Why not? Yeah, he's old. Let's save him.
I got one. My last what here is Orange Cassidy and Chuck challenges Miro to an arcade game, the lumberjack match.
My last one. Yeah, that's my last what too.
I'm
glad
that we had to come in.
Yeah, really. It's a lot of these things that, like, that show the direction for the next 6 weeks or whatever, and I'm just not excited about it. I guess this is just going to happen once. It's the direction for next week's match, or whatever that match is going to happen. I don't know if they announced it.
I think it's going to happen on the St. Patrick's Day Slam.
The St. Patrick's Day Slam.
I think it's going to happen on St. Patrick's
Isn't that,
Day Slam.
That's an insane name.
I like that about AEW, that they're kind of corny with each show. Yeah. They kind of, like, have, like, a St. Palette. Yeah, I like it.
New Year's
I think
Dash.
It's fun.
Winter is coming. It's very silly.
It's cute.
Yeah, I think it's cute too. It's silly. Yeah, the it just I don't understand. I don't understand
the
arcade
whole thing. I kind of wish that they kind of did live in a little. One of what I would love, and I think it would be interesting for someone to do, and maybe this is the Miro thing, where all of his segments should be soap opera based. I was thinking about this for someone at AEW, where all their backstage segments have a soap opera-like storyline. Like, right now, he's the best man, and he's the best man to his friend and his wife, and they had a wedding, and it was a disaster, and now he's got a friend, and is his butler. And now his butler betrayed him, and went to... Oh, I would just love for them to have, like, this world where backstage segments are soap opera-esque, and maybe that would fix something with Miro, because Miro likes to overact, and he likes to be very grand and very silly, but, like, very... A very strong range of emotions from 1 to 10 all the time. And I would just love for, like, maybe to best utilize that is to put it in the soap opera context where keep all your dumb storylines, no matter how dumb they are, but they'd work better if you treated them in a sillier fashion. I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, so how do you think you would do it? Would it be, like, filmed like a soap opera, you know, with, like,
yeah.
the... Okay, so everything would be more cinematic.
A hazy glow, everything's hazy. And use your backstage. Your backstage's fine. But just have dramatic close-ups of him being like, but you are my butler. And he's just like, I never wanted to be your butler. My name's Chuck. And then they walks away and you just see like Miro look in his face like betrayed but hurt and like looking at the camera as it fades away. Like everything to him is overreaction.
I would like that, but done in a serious way. I don't know if I like the film stuff because I think it's so easy to make fun of it and to laugh about it. But if you can do that or maybe even just like take that out, but like act more like everyone's acting more like a soap opera. I don't know how, but I'd be into that. A serious version of that would be incredible.
I think the serious version would require a deft hand, which I don't think AEW has a...
No,
they're going to be playing You're basketball. Right. Like,
I'm playing filmmaker
The final
right
countdown like, oh. comes yeah. on in the middle of it.
Yeah, you're right.
We can't expect all that. I'm asking too much.
Yeah.
No, but we love it. We've gotten such great comments on YouTube about your videos, Moa, and the video style. Where they're saying Ooh. That they enjoy the filmmaker aspect that you bring to it.
I saw, I was very happy to read that. Yeah,
that was very nice. Good. And thank you all. This has been the Woos and Whats of AEW Dynamite. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. And we've got, before we get to the names, I shouldn't have said my name first. You have to go to Loser Lee's Wrestling on YouTube and on Instagram and make sure to Loser Lee's Pod. Send your emails to loserleespod@gmail.com for the mailbag with Moet. So you can find out more information on that, right, Moet?
Oh, of course. I need to, I need to answer questions. I need to read questions. I love questions. Please give me more questions to read and ponder and think about live on the air.
Moet needs it. Do it for Moet, please. And we're going to be showing up live again on Saturday, and where we're going to be talking about the news and the mailbag with Moet. But until then, my name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moet Chaswell.
Moet Chaswell, if you were any famous painter, who would you be?
Who would I be if I was painted? Banksy, right?
Because, okay.
Yeah.
Very new age, very hip, very cool. Right. And Banksy, Moet's Banksy, everyone. Have a great one. Bye.
You don't know why? Okay.
No.
Fine.